they give you a list of do's and don'ts, and they ask, you know, make sure you're not, like, you know, they tell you constantly, make sure you don't do this. And, you know, it's like, all right, man, I'm not stupid. I'm not, why would I do that? It's just like...
Let me get my mic together so I can, you know, talk and relax and chill and...
Just chill.
Yeah, I think that's a good level. That's a good level. I can't... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's... We like that. We like that. I was just testing everything out just to see if everything was working, if everything was good.
That's what she said. She came through and said, I was just coming to make sure everything was good and everything was in working proper order.
No, that was one of my favorite lines in the whole movie. Like, who's coming? He's coming. Who? Me. I felt like it was a dirty-ass joke. He was like, I'm coming. You can't stop it. I was like...
No, he said, what's coming? I liked his... I liked his vibe. So he's like, what's coming? Me. A whole lot of me.
Dog, when he said it, I bust out laughing, and I felt like that kid who laughing at the fart joke. Because I was like, ain't none of y'all gonna laugh at that?
Right.
That's not funny to nobody else.
Right.
These Nickelodeon fart, like, cum jokes. Like, bro, that was a perfect, like, I saw this Jamaican movie one time, and this guy was hitting this chick from the back, and he just, like, oh my God, somebody's coming. She was like, who? And he's like, me. He was just rocking the fuck out of her, bro. Like, that shit was so damn funny. And it took me back to that when he did that shit, man. But, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you to a special edition of the Ninja Please Podcast. I go by your host, Starman, a.k.a. Tomoki Black, Golden Karama, Yuki, Senpai, Senpai Sunday, you know what I'm saying? I'm in here with a very special guest. We got Skos in the building today. And what we're going to do is we're going to discuss Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Now, shout out to Ocean, shout out to Macio, shout out to Black, shout out to Sylv, shout out to all of the Ninja Please family. I'm holding it down today because Ocean couldn't be here. It's his daughter's birthday. Shout out.
F them kids.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you a whole dad. After what we just talked about, that's fucked up.
No, I just seen what you call it not too long ago. The scary movie on BET Plus. The Reading.
The Reading. Nah. Ocean couldn't be here today. He didn't see the movie. I saw it. I would get Macio to call in, but I don't think he's going to get a chance to see it until tonight, the time of this recording. So at the time of this recording, which is the day, the 18th, I just finished watching it last night. Skos, you went to the midnight showing of Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, starring Paul Rudd, starring, like, Jonathan Majors, and some other white folks.
Paul Rudd nominated Sexiest Man Alive currently?
Youngest white man alive. I'll give him that.
Okay. I would just... That title always throws me off.
No. It's a great cast, bro. Michelle Pfeiffer's in it. Like that cat woman. You know what I'm saying?
That
like
cat man.
Like, yes.
No, man.
I don't know, man. It's a great cast. I really enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed the cast. I enjoyed everybody in it. Let me see. There's a few things I want to get in order before we deeply dive into this movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got Cassie is by Catherine Newton. She's like the third Cassie. We got Evangeline Lilly, who's Hope Van Dyne. Bill Murray's in the movie, who is Lord Krylar. Obviously, Paul Rudd.
Like, did they announce that Bill Murray was in it?
Mm-hmm. Nick Fury wasn't in it, but for whatever reason, you know, Michael Douglas, yeah, that's Hank Pym. Great cast, great people. I enjoyed everything as far as the cast is concerned about this movie. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ninja Please podcast review of Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, aka Ant-Man 3. This is officially the first movie in Phase 5 of the MCU. We're in Phase 5, bro. We've two phases past Endgame, bro. Phase 4 was the most stacked phase, which gave us She-Hulk, which gave us, everything. All the Disney Plus shows.
It gave us a whole bunch of intros to what's to come for the
future. Loki was... Okay, so let's circle back to Phase 4. I want to start with Loki. I'm starting with Loki because Kang's first introduction came on the season finale of Loki. The penultimate episode of Loki, when we got the revelation that Kang was sitting in this micro mini universe.
Right.
And, you know, Loki's like, what? And Sylvie's like, oh, I'm going to kill you for what you done did. And he's like, look, you can kill me because the other me is trying to kill me. I'm trying not to get killed. But if you kill me, you won't like my variants. And that was his word. You won't like my variants. I'm telling you right fucking now. Because when we saw that Kang, he was like, this guy smiling, cool black dude from the future. He's chilling. We like, oh, okay. What's up? You know, because Kang doesn't have... Kang has no powers, bro. This nigga just
a human.
He just got advanced tech, bro. This is super futuristic tech, bro. Kang is not an alien with super magic fucking powers, bro. That's tech. Without that suit, like she said in the movie, which we'll get to, like once he got that suit, like he could pretty much do damn near anything, bro. He's like Tony Stark on steroids. A little bit of comic book information for you. In one of the Iron Man comics, I think it's Godbuster, you find out that Tony Stark is somewhat of a clone of Kang. Like Kang cloned himself and he made Tony Stark's father, which ended up making him. So technically, Tony Stark is a descendant of Kang in some form or fashion in some comic book lore, but he's also considered to be Reed Richards' descendant as well. But you have to really dive into that. I was really hoping that we would get
Kang all along.
We would get that link somewhere, but ultimately, this is just his place in the multiverse. So anyway, Loki, you find out Kang does this multiverse shit. He's like, bro, this is my shtick, bro. I go to the multiverse, and I create new multiverses. I cleanse them. I commit genocide. I fuck them up. Like, bro, I do this shit because this is my purpose. And honestly, there's nothing else I'd rather do than jump from multiverse to multiverse and do fuck shit. Anyway, let's start the movie, man. I don't want to recap the movie, but if you're listening to this, I hope you've seen it. With that being said, Skos, what were your initial expectations going into Ant-Man and the Wasp after you seeing all the Disney Plus shows that came out, all the build-up? The trailer gave away the whole fucking plot, so there was nothing really to be too surprised about. Going into this movie, what did you expect? Like, what'd you expect it to happen?
First of all, hey, everybody, how you doing? I am Skos, a.k.a. Mr. Have You Seen It, a.k.a. He Shall Not Be Named. All right.
Even though he named himself twice, but keep going. Yeah,
exactly. So, upon doing it, you know, I try to limit myself on the previews and trailers, but it's today. It's impossible to hide from everything. So I went unbiased, undaunting, and I went mainly just looking for the action, see what's going on, what kind of storytelling we're going to do, because we already know the reveal. Ant-Man can't hold a torch up to the Conqueror. Come on now. Like, no, it's going to be one-sided. And I was greatly surprised at the dynamic that they introduced into it as far as it went. My only gripe, I would have to say, that I was having issues digesting was watching Star Wars. I felt like I was watching Star Wars all over again.
Hey, what you mean?
So we dive into the multiverse, and the first thing we do is put on hoods, and we go into a bar where there's other aliens drinking at a bar, and I'm like...
At a bar, Star Wars.
Like, this is classic Star Wars, and we Jedis, because we got hoods on, so they don't know that we're Jedis.
That's rich.
Yeah, we're... And then, you know, Kang is, for all intents and purposes... The Sith, the Galactic Empire is the word. So we have to put hoods on so the Galactic Empire does not see us or notice who we are. And then first thing we do is run into who?
Rebels. Rebel forces.
Nope. Lando Calrissian.
The guy who turned his back.
The guy who is supposed to be my friend. Oh, yeah, come to Cloud City, you know. Hey, what does Lando Calrissian do? Hey, come in this room. Bam, Darth Vader's in there. This motherfucker didn't set us up.
Bill Murray
was Lando Calrissian the fuck out of
there. I did not look at it that way, but that's a very interesting.
I was like, wow, because he just got, hey, wait, we're not done talking. I'm like, I looked around, and nobody looked around with me, and I'm like, so nobody gonna talk about how he just Lando they ass, and then he just immediately flipped the script. Well, you left me. What you think I was supposed to do? I don't care how good we fought against him. He had a better deal. He's convincing. Who is also convincing? Darth Vader. Very convincing. Only his proposition is better. I kill you now, or I freeze you in carbonite, or perhaps kill you gruesomely. I just choke you out. So, yeah, besides the whole Star Wars vibe I got with the bars and the setup, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the feel.
I would say my expectations going into it is, like I said, the trailer kind of gave me everything I thought I was going to get. So when I'm watching it, I knew I was going to get like a heavy, very heavy CG green screen movie. Like, I don't know if it was something with the theater, but for like the first 5 minutes of the movie, it just was kind of blurry. Like, everything didn't sit in well, and then I guess that was just more of a technical problem from the theater. But eventually, I got it. I had a nice center row seat where I like to sit. I could have sat one row back. I would prefer that, but my row, where I sat, wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. Had a great seat, center house, center stage, you know, down center, I'm good. I really appreciated how Scott Lang is just, like, after the blip, after everything, I saved the world. He wrote a book. I really like how it centered around how would you make money in this post-blip society. So it's just like, no, man, I was Ant-Man. I wrote the book. I'm the everyday guy that joined the Avengers, and he recounts his tale of the Avengers. One of my favorite ones was just like, one of my favorite things is when I met a talking space raccoon. And although I don't think he remembers me, at least I'm happy because I met a space raccoon that could talk. And it's just like so innocent. Yeah. Like, but when he read in the library and he got to like the end of the book, I was going to say the foreword, when he got to like, you know, the closing of the book, I like how he was like, you know, motivationally speaking, they wrote that well. Like, you know, there's always room to grow. You know, even when you're small, like, you can be, look out for the small guy. I really like how, you know, I was just like, bro, that's some real shit. Like, that's exactly how that book would sound. That's exactly how it would look. You know, New York Times bestseller. He's making his money from his books. His wife owns a $1 billion company. Tony Stark's out the way. So this Pymtech is next generational. They're living good. His daughter wants to be a political activist. She's fighting on the ground using her Pymtech in order to, like, save homeless people and, you know, fight, you know, everyday things. She's like, yo, these people, and that's what I like. She was like, they can't help that they lost their houses in the blip, and answered another fucking question. The people who got sent away for 5 years because of the blip came back only to find that their properties defaulted on, their loans defaulted on, interest piled up because they couldn't pay the interest. And since they're dead, imagine a bank saying, well, you dead. We got to clear out your debt. Oh, you're not dead. You defaulted on your loan. Pay us our interest. Oh, I have to sell my house. You don't own that house. Squatters rule. Someone stole your house. Matter of fact, your loved one sold your house. You don't have a fucking house. You're homeless. How does the government deal with these problems? And that's my biggest issue with Phase 4 is even with the She-Hulk, even with Ms. Marvel, even with everything that they gave us, they never answered the question, what was life like with people who suffered from the fucking blip? I don't want that to get answered when we get the new Captain America, because he's supposed to be this, you know, this kind, you know, this kind American. No, nigga, I want straight up Tom Clancy kicking bad guys' ass, but that's another conversation. But Cassie is like, no, man, these folks can't help it. I want to help these people. So she shrunk a cop car. She got locked up. She mad at the police. She got arrested 3 times. He didn't know because granddaddy and grandma covering for her.
Right.
Which brings me to another point. Grandma had all this quantum realm shit going on and didn't feel this shit was pertinent to nobody. Didn't tell nobody none of this shit. Like, didn't tell nobody about Kang, about none of the people down there. How the fuck do you keep that secret? Like, Thanos came and snapped the universe away. Went through all of this shit. And this bitch really think it's in the best interest of her mental health to just not bring up none of this shit in the quantum realm. That's the shit that pissed me off. So I loved when Hope was like, why didn't you tell me you were doing this? I tried. She was like, Mom, I tried to ask you about the quantum realm 1,000 times. You shouldn't be doing this. Well, maybe if you fucking told me why, we wouldn't have did this shit. This is your fault. Right. All you had to do was tell us. We up here experimenting with the quantum realm, trying to figure out what's in it, how it works, what's down there. You know all this shit that you refused to tell us. You didn't tell us how you survived, how long it was, who died there, what's the threat, nothing. And that right there pissed me off. But it invested me in the movie. So before I turn this back over, it leads me to my final point about the movie, which I loved, was superhero rule number one. Never take your suit off. Never take your suit off. If we having a meeting, keep your goddamn suit on. You never know what'll happen. I love the fact that everybody had their suit on.
Facts.
Everybody had their suit. We didn't have to get the suit. We didn't have to find the suit. We didn't have to make a suit. Nah, bro. Everybody had their suit on just in case shit went down. And I love how, you know, the Wasp is like, nah, I'm not Ant-Man. I'm about this shit. I'm ready. Let's go. Yeah.
Instantly.
But I love the setup. I love the initial, how they got sucked into the quantum realm. How I love the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids attitude that they continue to keep.
Right.
With Ant-Man. It's a straight up Honey, I Shrunk the Kids type of shit. Like, we fucked up. Somebody lied. Somebody deceived. Somebody was a ne'er-do-well. Did too much. And here we are. Subatomic. Different world. Right. It felt like Spy Kids, though. I didn't like that. With the CG and the style. But I feel like that was on purpose. I felt like they meant to make this shit look like Spy Kids.
One of the issues, piggybacking off what you said, Grandma, I wanted to chop you in your throat continuously during the movie. And then you had the nerve to have a breakdown. Well, I did so many things. You wouldn't have... Come here. Come a little closer. I just wanted to ninja chop in the back of the neck. You unconscious and...
Yes.
Yeah. Ninja chop in the back of the neck. And when you wake up, we're going to continue this conversation. Because how the fuck... I try to keep my profanity on the minimum. But I'm going to thoroughly express my...
Give it to
him. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to give it to you. That my whole thought process went down. I'm like, wait. How the fuck do you meet a being that you touched his fucking thoughts, you saw his fucking mind, you goddamn, what's that shit, Demolition Man sexed with him when they put the when they put the fucking helmets on, they can see that. You Demolition Man mind fucked with him, saw all the crazy shit he's done, all the pain, all the misery, you saw him better than he saw his fucking self. And you decide to keep that to yourself?
Saw a whole extinction level event.
Multiple extinction level events. And then not only do you keep that shit to yourself, because this motherfucker terrified you so bad, you destroyed his shit that he needed, which, you know, even pissed him off even fucking more. Your thought process after meeting Thanos was, hey, I need to tell y'all about this motherfucker just in case he get out. Because if he gets out, he's fucking shit up. Period.
I would have loved that. Honestly, when we got to the end of the movie, I'm not even so sure I'm sold on Scott not saying... Nick Fury, hey, I need to tell somebody about this shit. That's the one thing I don't like about these movies, bro. Niggas be keeping too many secrets, bro. Do you know how many anime, cartoons, sci-fi I've watched through the years? And the only reason shit gets so bad, because somebody has pertinent information, and they just keep that shit to the vest. Keep that shit so close to the chest, they don't tell nobody. I'm like, look, bro, y'all need to start talking. Y'all need to communicate, bro. I don't give a fuck what's going on, bro. And that's just natural human reaction, right? If I'm riding down the interstate and I see a tractor trailer smash into another tractor trailer, scos, bro. Bro, I just seen some damn Final Destination shit on the interstate, bro. That shit crazy. I can't wait to tell somebody about this tragedy I saw. So you experience all of that.
Right.
And you just like, no, I got family who normally shrinks down because this is what we do. And I'm not going to tell nobody.
Right.
Your whole daughter, your husband is out here just making shit. He developed Pym Tech. And you just out here.
Not going to tell
him. I'm not going to tell him.
Not going to tell you.
That was the worst part of the whole fucking plot. So
my thing, I hate to use this, but this is what I felt. So, you know. Shit, fuck it. It is what it is. I felt the desperate housewife bullshit. I need to keep my marriage and sanctity of my purity of existence intact, because I can't tell you part of the story without telling you all the story. So the fact that if I told you about Kang, I'd have to tell you that me and Bill Murray was knocking it up, you know, all the time, because... quote unquote, she said, I got needs. Yeah.
Yo, that's a good, interesting point. You know, I got to give a husband, I got to give Hank Pym, I got to give this nigga credit, bro. Like, you know, and I like how he shot back. Well, you know what? I had me a little thing going on. Well, what happened to her? She just wasn't you, baby.
Right.
Tried to be all smooth with it. But it's like, nah, man, we were old folk. She's like, I was down here for 30 years. I got lonely. I met somebody, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
But this the fucked up thing. Like, he, like, that's a patient ass hug. It could have been me, bro. Like, it could have been me. You need to tell me this. You ain't holding no secret. You had a whole nother family for 30 damn years. And, like, no, you need this nigga in my face gloating about
how he gave me nods and shit, how he was knocking you down, having you laid out on a platter. Like, I seen that little sexual innuendo, how he slurped that octopus down. I caught that. He ate pussy in front of everybody. In a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Like, to his husband. To me. Bro.
Ain't he try to swing on him. I'm just like, bro, you got me fucked up.
Man, when he sucked that octopus down, I was like... And they had nerve to put the quote, have you tried this before? No? Life-changing. And then looked at Hope like, bro, you got one more time to say something and reference my wife.
Right.
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
Like, nah, man. I like how they worked. Let her tell it. They worked on that fucking orb for years.
Right.
And she did a lot of the heavy lifting.
So,
Like, because he couldn't make another one by him damn self, even with his fucking suit. He could figure out how to use that signal to pull them there. But he could not figure out how to make another fucking orb even with that suit. Built the whole fucking city with that suit, but cannot figure out how to make an orb with that suit. I don't get it.
So I get it. So
Tony Stark.
In a lab. With a box of scraps.
With a bunch of scraps.
So.
Like, this nigga ain't no Tony Stark,
so,
bro.
So I Wikipedia'd a few things. Went and found a couple dudes that I follow online. You know, one of my guys, man. Like, I'm kind of, you know, feeling his stuff. King Lion on TikTok. Like,
shout out.
Yeah, shout out to King Lion. Like, he be dropping some knowledge on different stuff. So, between that and Googling and different stuff like that, what I saw basically was that version of Kang is literally what they said, Kang the Conqueror. He's not an innovator. He knows how to take things and use things. He didn't know how to rebuild things. That's why they left him his chair, because he knew he didn't have the technological
know-how
to repair it.
Mm.
he could only use it if it was fixed, or he could only use somebody in essence to repair it. But as far as him, he's a taker and a user. He's not a fixer or a repurposer.
That makes sense. Well, so, that was very evident. Like, yeah. That was completely.
Yeah. So that's why he spat.
Star Wars thing make a lot of fucking sense, because this nigga sure acted like he was goddamn Darth Vader, bro. Like, yes. Grabbing by your neck, yeah. Throwing you, yeah. With the hands.
Yeah, with the force shit.
The force shit, yeah. Like.
I was seeing more and more of that shit, man. Like, but still, like, he made a cool-ass fucking Vader, though, because.
He made a cool-ass Vader, like.
I'm going to tell you right here, like, the shit that had me fanboying over, shout-out Jonathan Majors, Hope, what happened? I saw what you did, the genocide. What about my family? She will never have to know. Oh, so you're going to destroy my world? I will leave your world untouched. Don't you want her to open that door and see you on the other side of that door? I can give that to you.
You saved my life.
So let me return the favor.
Let me return the favor.
Like,
he was like, I'm going to place you in the timeline where it was right after you left. You ain't got to worry about nothing. Your timeline, you have my honor. I will never fuck with your timeline. So, I will fuck with, honestly.
That's one of my.
Is that a bad deal?
It's not a bad deal. And I'm like, I'm put it like this, which is like super dope, which I have to give him props. Like, I need more background on him. Because he's not a fucking liar. And he's honest and noble. Whatever he tells you he's going to do, he's going to do it.
Because he's already seen himself do it. He was like, bro, I ain't got to lie. I know the future.
But not only that, it's just his integrity. His integrity means so much to him. Like, when he was fucking with Scott, and he's like, look, do what I want you to do. I'll kill your daughter in front of you, and I'll put you in a loop where you will constantly watch her die until you beg me
to kill you myself.
Kill you,
that was cold.
Like, and that right there was not an empty threat. That was a promise.
Because you start twisting her arm, you squeezing her like, bro, yeah, you don't, like, do it, the fuck.
Like,
see, that was the build up. I love the fake out where you think she's calling Kane, but she's calling the buddy who's actually subservient to Kane. And, you know, it sent him on this whole wild fucking goose chase in order to, like, find Scott. And Scott has to find Cassie. And then he finds Cassie. They drink the shit, which was, you drunk, my bro.
They decide
to get nasty with this.
Man, he got... He drank the nut, man.
It got nasty at the end. Like, no, like, the well-placed F-bombs and holy shits and, like, the cussing. I felt like all of that was, like, well-placed. It was like they used everything perfectly at the right time. And I was like, okay, that's the adult edge. That's where the rating came from. It wasn't dark.
Yeah.
Wasn't surprisingly as dark as I thought it was going to be. Now, I ain't going to lie to you. Like, her flashback left much to be desired because I wanted to see more. But when this nigga Kane had his fucking temper tantrum on that bridge. Dog, that's when the shit went Rogue One. This nigga had a temper tantrum. Bro, this nigga just got. I like the fact that. I felt that nigga, bro. That nigga just had a temper tantrum, bro. That nigga just got mad. Just got mad. Scream.
Like, this bitch just got. I had the.
He screams and the fucking blue blast comes. Obliterates everything around him. Then he just look at you and blast you like he Goku, nigga. Like, bah, bah, God. Just burning niggas with a laser that disintegrates everybody. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, bro. If you destroyed worlds with this technology, that shit had to have taken some time because you weren't impervious. So I'm trying to look at this shit like, what I realized by the end of the movie, that this Kang the Conqueror, the worlds that he conquered, the Avengers that he toppled, they weren't our Avengers. They weren't as strong as our Avengers. They couldn't have been. This nigga, Kang wasn't. That's the thing that got me. This Kang wasn't even strong, Kang.
He wasn't.
He wasn't even strong, Kane. This Kane was relatively weak in the grand scheme of things. When you kind of put the picture together, when I saw how he killed everybody, I know that may sound fucked up, but when I saw the way he was killing these people, I'm like, nigga, I would have freezed up. I would have been like, bruh, I'm sorry. If I'm a psychopathic, narcissistic, you know, genocidal maniac, I'm going to go the route of Frieza. I'm not finna get on the ground and just blast niggas, throw a temper tantrum. Like, you seen the TikTok going around? When niggas be like, all these people that fight Goku can blow right. the earth up with a blast. Yeah. But he always like, nigga, you ain't got no hands. This nigga ain't got no hands. Well, square up then. And he lure him into fighting when, right. truth be told, they could just go out to space and just throw a blast at the planet and blow it up.
Right.
But he always lure him into fighting.
Right.
And if I'm Kang, I'm like, no, nigga, I'm finna blow this bitch up. I'm not finna fight. But that nigga Kang had hands.
So
that nigga can fight.
Before we get to the hands part, it was another part in the story, in the plot armor that irritated me greatly. And you said it, and I'm trying to remember, bring it back, something that they did. Oh, first of all, that fucking rave party pissed me the fuck off. Speaking of that, the bit that made them drink the goo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody's fucking glowing. Like, why was everybody glowing like they was at a fucking rave party? Like, what was the whole significance of the freedom fighters? Like, all of them, like, were just fucking glowing for no fucking reason.
And you seen when they drunk the little red shit, they got a nice cool-ass little capsule drink and just took a shot and it was done. These niggas, you gotta, bruh, you're not holding me down and pouring blood-like substance down my fucking throat.
And then that was the thing, like, I know they had to do that so you understand the language, but y'all already came off as fucking hostile. Y'all held me at gunpoint. Like,
you lured him here. No, bitch, you kidnapped me. Like, we literally just wanted to ask you a question and get the fuck on.
Yeah.
And now you talking about we ain't lure him here. Like, you brought me to this motherfucker, bro. Y'all dragged me and my dad to this motherfucker. And that's why they following us. You ain't let us explain.
Right.
You act like you ain't had that fucking red juice with you. You could have goddamn brought the pomegranate juice with you and just gave us some.
Right, you could have brought the goddamn, What's that shit? From gummy bears, man.
Gummy bears.
That's what it looked like, the little flags that they had, the juice that they drink and start bouncing. I still
wonder what that gummy bear, like shit tastes like. But anyway.
But yeah, that's the issue I had with that whole thing, because they fucking kidnapped them at gunpoint and then held them down and made them drink his nut. Like, I don't care what nobody say. That was just because he's like, you drank
me. You got hoes?
I got holes.
How many holes do you have? I love the fact that everybody in the theater was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Everybody was like, 7 holes. And it was like, yeah, 7 holes. And I was just like, damn. I like the fact that he counted. That to me, was so...
My ass counted, too.
What I like about Scott Lang is his portrayal as a superhero is like, bro, I'm learning this shit as I go, but I'm taking it seriously. But at the same time, he's a person with great power who understands the responsibility behind his power. That's why he really wants his daughter to not get caught up
in the
crime. Like, I don't want you to get caught up in this crime because I've been arrested and they fuck with my life. But she's like, Dad, we got super tech. We can do whatever the fuck we want. Fuck the police. She's like, look, fuck them. Like, I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I want to. Like, she's like, Dad, I want you to be a hero. Like, and I like how he was like, I saved the world. Because imagine you got a parent or a relative who saved the fucking world. They're not gonna shut the fuck up about saving the fucking world. And I like how she asked, well, what have you done for me lately? Yeah, you saved the fucking world, but what have you done lately?
Right.
And if I'm Scott Lang, I'm like, bitch, I saved the fucking world. Right. If I don't do nothing motherfucking else, them Avengers, when they came back, if it wasn't for me, well, technically, if it wasn't for the rat, well, you don't know about the rat. Right. All you know is I came out and I gave these niggas a path to use the quantum realm in order to go to a different timeline.
Right.
I did this shit. If I'm Scott Lang, I'm talking my shit, too.
Two things about what you just said just then. One, it bothered me what you just said, because when I was watching the movie, it bothered me. You reminded me that it bothered me.
What?
She got the call back to something they reference a lot in different shows. Somebody with status trying to do something for people who have none.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to validate her purpose for doing things by equating it to the people who have no status. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it doesn't mean the same for you. Because at the end of the day, you can take your suit off and you have a comfortable life. We don't get to take our suits off. We still stay down here suffering. And it's almost like that's what I was experiencing with her was, well, we got to do something. These people are suffering all that. But at the end of the day, you're not in the mud with us. You get to step out of the mud, wipe your shoes off, change your shoes, and go back to your normal life. And then when it seems to do you fit, when you feel like it's justified or it just feels like now is the time for you to step up, then you come back. We don't get the choice to go left and right. We have to stay in it 24/7.
She got a hard wake-up call, like, through that shit, because this nigga hit her with the Darth Vader fucking death force grip. Fucking damn near choked her. She almost died. If she didn't have her suit, she would have died. No. She had to be slick. And then her dad was just like...
No, I was talking about prior to...
No, I get that. Yeah. But I'm just saying, even through the midst of that, she had, like... It's like, Shawty, you got this suit. But, of course, he had to teach her how to fight. And she was like, no, Dad, I don't know what you're talking about. He was like, no, I'm trying to teach you how to use the suit to fight.
Right.
Like, you need to learn how to fight. Like, he was just like, look, I'm not the best boxer, but... I've timed this shit where I can shrink down and hit it at the right time, an uppercut. I can use, because when he's small, he keeps the same force and momentum that he has when he's big. So when he's growing, that force is multiplied.
Right.
So if he hits you while he's growing, he's hitting you with the force that's actually bigger than himself when he becomes regular height. That's why his punches are so strong. So I really like the fact that, he was like, I'm going to shrink, grow, and punch you at the same time. Like, that's my thing. Like, girl, you got to learn how to fight.
Right.
Like... But I don't want you doing this shit. But ultimately, she got a suit. Granddad, everybody got a suit. Grandma got a suit.
Right.
You know, Hope got a suit.
That's the reference I was looking for. My bad. It just hit me. Come on, Mike. Come on. You're not like the rest of us. You are. At least we not out here. No rich guy out here playing cop. That's the vibe I was getting from her. The Bad Boys reference.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Martin made the whole reference. We out here in the dirt. We ain't got no pension, Mike. We get fired. We out on the street. I'm supposed to apologize to my family, leave me some money, leave me a trust fund. And that's the situation she was in. She wanted to help, but she was in a situation where it didn't really matter about. She didn't have to be a hero. It wasn't necessary. She was just doing it. But at the same time, she was afforded everything that nobody else around her. She's trying to help her afford it.
But that's why a lot of our favorite superheroes are the people who just got money and do good with their money. Because in real life, we know that those people can actually be real heroes. It's one thing, like, when you watch The Boys, I'm rewatching Invincible, but when you watch Invincible, The Boys, it gives you a more realistic approach to how policing can go. Hell, My Hero Academia, if you're caught up on the current season,
right,
on how the world can turn their back on heroes, because the whole 80% in My Hero, 80% of the world population got powers.
Right.
80%. Only 20% of people don't have power. So it's a hero dominated society. No, it's a power dominated society. Which kind of makes me think, bruh, if I'm oppressed enough, I kind of want the senators to send them damn sentinels to crush these superpowered motherfuckers, because they doing too goddamn much and I'm scared. I need somebody I trust out here to do some shit. So it's kind of like, it made me feel like for the X-Men shit, you know, it's just like, well, nah, honestly, bro, like the correlation between My Hero Academia, Ant-Man, and X-Men is like, nah, bro, if you downtrodden, I can kind of see why you would want somebody to do something if they have these powers. But at the same time, if it's too many people with powers that are just doing bad things, then you fucked.
Right.
Think about how that relates to Ant-Man is... You got these people with powers, and you got this whole resistance, and they're trying to fight against Kang. Who Kang is like, bruh, honestly, I'm only doing this because I'm bored. I can't go where I want to go and kill who I want to kill and do what I want to do. I'm stuck here. I'm bored. Like, Jane, when she left, she fucked them people up. She left them, like, you know how Rorschach told them, I ain't in the cage with y'all. Y'all in the cage with me.
You're in here with me.
That was what happened to all them people she left behind.
Right.
She was like, no, y'all, she left them down there with her. I meant down there with Kane.
And speaking about the people, where the fuck did they come from?
They ain't even answer that shit.
Like, that's enough shit that pissed me the fuck off. Because I'm not gonna lie. When we were gonna run into them, I was expecting more Osmosis Jones or Fern Gully or something like that. Because I was like, if you're in the quantum realm, because the few times we've seen them go to the quantum realm, it's been microorganisms and amoebas and stuff on a cellular division. And we go down here, it's people with proton laser heads. Like I said, the whole rave party thing where we got people with the battery packs.
From a spiritual place, me exploring spirituality, I made up shit in my head as to why. I made up why that shit fucking works because of just the way energy works and the way I look at the quantum realm, where it's like we live in the third dimension, right?
Right.
We can't assume the quantum realm is the first or second dimension. It's not. The quantum realm is actually at least the fifth or sixth dimension. That shit is a couple dimensions past where we are. Okay. We can't perceive it, but it's actually of a higher plane of existence than we are now, because it's all moving matter. It's all laws and energy laws that translate with that. That's why they're able to have suns. That's why they're able to have all of these things that exist. It's a universe within universes. So I feel like it's a different dimension, because get this, different dimensions and multiverses are two different things. And I love the fact that Hank Pym differentiated that shit. He was like, so you mean different dimensions and multiverses? Just because something's a multiverse doesn't mean it's necessarily a different dimension.
Right.
And just because you go to a different dimension does not mean that's a different multiverse. They're two separate things. So I think the quantum realm is a road to different multiverses, but is in actuality a different dimension. So I think the multiverse is a different dimension, but through that dimension, because the dimension is a higher realm of existence, once you go down to a lower realm of existence, I feel like since time is just a construct based on the third dimension and the plane that we live, I feel like time doesn't truly exist. So I feel like that's why from the higher dimension, you can literally go anywhere else at any other point, because at that point, you're like God energy,
right?
Like infinite, bro.
It's the theory about time is fluid.
It's not just time being fluid. It's literally in the beginning, there was light. Let there be light. So in the beginning, you got what, you got when, and you got why. You got all these questions that got answered with one act. And I feel like energy operates in the same principle. But get on IG and update your reels if y'all really want to get some damn esoteric, spiritual breakdown for that shit. But that's just me.
No, I'm with you.
So it's a different dimension. So they're in a different dimension. They're not just smaller. Yeah. But what they had to explain to these people was, we were really big, we got really small. But technically, y'all in a different motherfucking dimension. That's really what the fuck happened.
Yeah, because the one chick was like, so you came from the outside world like him. That's the first thing that they said.
Yeah, Kane came from hell.
Yeah, but I'm saying
for a while, I thought Kane fucking jacked off and just multiplied his nut and just made people because he was bored.
Man, when I...
And I know that may sound gross, but I'm just like, where did y'all people come from, Kane? Did you fucking just, and just fucking make these people and now you just gonna kill them? To me, that's sick.
But let me tell you something. I had said that in my head. Like, when you said the thing about Tony Stark and all that, I was like, what's this bitch just ejaculate into the multiverse? What's that thing called? In Narnia,
primordial ooze.
That'd be funny. That's actually nut. But in the Chronicles of Narnia, they had that water, and it was like, this is the source of where all magic comes from. And old dude, he was like, I dropped a douche in there, like. And he's like, you know, I don't care anymore. Like, you remember that joke?
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, one of the guys, he went in there, he basically shat into the water. He's like, you corrupted it. He's like, I know.
Bro, nobody ever takes bathroom breaks in superhero movies. Nobody gets stomach aches. Like, nobody ever eats nothing bad, fucked up night before. Y'all don't eat nothing. Anyway.
Yeah, off topic, but.
Anyway, back to the movie. What I did not like, I ain't gonna even hold you, bro. Like, to me, everything was fine and dandy until MODOK took off his fucking mask. Bruh, what the fuck was that, bruh? The fuck was MODOK, bro?
Check it out.
Why?
Check it out.
Why? Nigga? That was the worst thing about this fucking movie was MODOK, bro.
Here we go, right here.
MODOK was ass.
Here we go, right here.
That shit pissed me off.
This is the thing, ladies and gentlemen, which I have been waiting to talk to somebody about because I refuse to spoil this for anybody because that's just who I am as a person. So here we go. I've been waiting. I've been patient. I didn't want to bring it up till we got here. But I seen a comment, and the comment held true online. Once you see MODOK, you could not fucking unsee him. And I could not fucking unsee him. He was fucking Zordon from the Power Rangers. Bruh. With little arms and little legs, looking like fucking Humpty Dumpty from a children's nursery rhyme.
Bruh, you preaching.
Boy, I was up there. I was mad. I was tapping my foot.
The nigga behind me was laughing hard every time he showed his face. And every time I seen MODOK, I just got pissed off. I'm like, man, this some bull. What kind of goddamn Spy Kids bullshit is this MODOK? Like, y'all could have made him scary, menacing when he had the fucking gold in the face. But when he opened it up, and I heard his voice, and he was talking, and I was just like, nigga.
Darren?
Nigga, you MODOK? Don't be a dick. It's never too late to not be a dick. I'm like, bruh, like, stop. But that's good advice, though. Never too late to stop being a dick. That was great fucking advice.
It's never too late to stop giving her dick, but it's always too late.
It's never too late to stop being a dick, bruh. And that was profound message to give the youth in this movie.
It was.
It was very profound because there are three types of people. You have dicks, pussies, and assholes. It's never too late to stop being a dick. You don't want to be an asshole, but never be a pussy. Anyway, bruh, MODOK, bruh. I can't unsee that fucking face, bruh.
Yeah, I told you, you cannot unsee. Once you see MODOK.
Even when Kang had the blue shit on, his face looked big as fuck. I'm like, stop doing this, bruh. Everybody's face ain't got to be big as shit. The fuck? Jonathan Majors is a cool guy. I've heard many women reference him as to being handsome. But y'all ain't have to fucking spread his big ass bell pepper nose all across the goddamn blue landscape in that mask. Like, damn, you know,
Kang. Why was his nose so wide? I'm glad you said it because I didn't want to be that guy. I did not want to be that guy. But I was like, I'm so mad because I feel like I'm in a fucking 80s Japanese anime cartoon where y'all just like, you know what? This how you draw black people's noses.
Bro, what the fuck is y'all doing with these faces, bro? Between Kang with the fucking helmet on and between MODOK just with the helmet
on. That's not MODOK. I told you that's fucking Zordon.
Zordon
from the Power Rangers is free, and he got a little body. That's why we never.
He wasn't menacing evil. He was just Kang's bitch.
Yeah,
because he just gave him the tech, and he did this shit to him. He was just Kang's bitch. That wasn't really MODOK, bro.
It was not. Like it was. He was like you said. He was fucking Igor with Dracula. He was Dracula's fucking Igor.
Bro, he could have looked like one of them niggas from Attack on Titan. You know, the niggas when they face get big and they start running all crazy and shit. Like, bro, I was like, bro, what kind of Attack on Titan?
Some kind of distortion. Like, how did the only distortion happen is his arms and legs got shrunk.
And then they put his face in there, but then they layered it with the CGI. So it was just like, bro, why did y'all mocap his face just to use his face? It's like, bro, that shit look worse than She-Hulk. Before y'all fucking touched up the CGI. And I love She-Hulk. Bro, MODOK's face, I'm like, bro.
That shit was
horrible.
No, that shit was, when you go online and you have a touchscreen mouse and you drag your finger across the mouse, the little icons across the window, and they like magnify up which one you want to pick. That was fucking MODOK.
That was MODOK. I did not like MODOK. And then every time he had the face on, it was menacing and evil. He coming up and hello. Had that ugly, goofy face.
Right.
And then it's just like, bro, he wasn't menacing or look evil, bro. He just looked goofy.
He did. I told you, he looked like fucking live action Humpty Dumpty, dog. Like, I could just see his ass fucking on the little nursery rhyme shit talking about, you know, skipping up the hill. Like,
bro, I did not fuck with MODOK.
Period.
Like I said, though, when Kang threw that temper tantrum and he just fucked all them people up in the bridge, like, to me, that was, like, the most badass moment of the movie. I needed more moments like that, but...
I needed more Kang and less, where's Cassie?
Whereas, right. I need to see. Because Kane was all calm and composed until he wasn't. Because he always felt so assured. I'm like, Kane, you got the orb. Get the fuck on. Why you dragging your feet? I hate that cliche bad guy shit. We got to explain everything. We get the opportunity to off the motherfucking do what we want. But we drag our feet. But I love how simple Ant-Man was in the sense of, you know what? I'm finna do Attack on Titan. I'm finna just turn into a colossal fucking titan. And I'm finna just fuck shit up. And I love how Kang was like, you would think with all this shit I could fuck him up. But him being that giant, he's impervious to most of my shit. Why is this not working? I got a whole army. That nigga Kang had a whole fucking army that he was finna take with him to all these multiverses and fuck shit up. And Ant-Man turned to giant man and just kicked and stepped on every fucking thing, held a shield. And I like how simple it was. It was just like, look, bro, I can get big too. I'm not just small. And I like how when he got big, it was just like, bro, he formidable, bro. This nigga's a whole giant.
Yeah.
This nigga's Attack on Titan, bro. He literally just, right. He just literally just fucked everything right. up and then smashed it. Then Kane got his shit loose. My favorite, the icing on the cake though, was Hank Pym and the ants. Being like, oh, those smart ants that make their own technology.
Right.
Like those ants have taken over this level of the quantum realm, bro. These ants are coming. Like
that was a great callback because they kept saying, like, what about those things? Ants? Do we have those out here? No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. He knew because that was the first thing that got sucked. The ant farm's the first thing that got sucked into the hole.
It was.
So he was like, wow, the ants were falling. Because the ants were so small as they were falling, it took them thousands of years
right.
to hit the level, the bottom which they touched. So because it took them 1,000 years to get there, it was just like, bro, these ants have evolved. Like, these ants got so big, they built their own cities, and he just called the ants to him. I'm just like, wait a minute, so you mean to tell me these ants built the whole city? Kang ain't noticed these ants building a whole fucking New York City for ants?
Yeah, I had a couple problems with
things. I had a couple fucking questions as to what these ants were building, how they were building it. Because I was like, did the ants build the city Kang has? Is that how Kang got the city? Was it ants? I didn't see no fucking robots. Did he do it all with the suit? How are you powering the suit? Goddamn. Did you build that shit in the cave of scraps too? What the right. fuck?
No.
That's your power source. And if, like, what the fuck? Like, Kang, I have so many questions that they did not answer.
You asked the question I had a question about too. Like, I did not have that question. I had the answer to that question. That when you asked it. Okay. So, when I looked it up, so when they activated his chair,
mm-hmm.
so remember I told you
he does not know how to make it.
But he
knows how to use it.
But he knows how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So when she activated his chair, that gave him access to his suit, that was in his chair.
Yes.
So upon that, they also basically what stuff I was reading was since he didn't fully activate his chair like he would have went and grabbed other tech then came back, and that's where he would get more technology. That's where he would get more stuff. But the bare minimum was his suit existed in the chair, but the chair had to be powered up for him to. Basically, the suit was locked in the chair.
Yeah, I saw when he got the suit. That's all he really needed to do.
The suit had his own power source.
Yeah, because like, Iron Man's suit got his own renewable power source. I get it. Honestly, I get like that's some futuristic. My suspicion is that's some super futuristic tech, Wayne Tech, bro. That's some super futuristic, like not Wayne Tech, Stark Tech. Super futuristic Stark Tech.
I felt like that from when he got damaged, his wrist was flaring off, and it was showing that his suit was damaged, and he wasn't able to activate it because the. He got wrist gauntlets, like mm-hmm. Space Ghost, the command powered. And that's how he was, like, doing the flinging shit, because they got wrist gauntlets.
Yeah, man. Well, fast forward, Ant-Man and Cassie, he doesn't team up with everybody. Everybody's kind of gone away on the ship doing other shit. I like how it was Scott Lang, bro. Scott Lang was just like, look, bro, I'm going to just do what I do best. I'm going to just figure it out on the fly. I'm going to just... Right. Put all my faith in myself. I'm a bet on myself. My favorite part came when he finally took when, bruh, Kane beat that nigga
ass. Let's stop right there. Hey, bro.
ain't beat that nigga shit, ass.
This shit right here, man.
That nigga had hands, bro.
I ain't seen in a while when somebody asked somebody not to make them beat their ass. He looked at him and said, and he did the black people thing when your lips go to the side, like, hey, I wouldn't do, you gonna make me do it. You go, and he, like you said, commenced the ass whooping of a lifetime and stopped and said, look.
Yeah, child, bro. He threw a tantrum. Think about it. The way he stomped him, he ain't stomp him like I'm a stomper. He stomped him like, nah, like you trying to break something. That nigga was stomping the fuck out of his mask. Grabbed him, picked him up, let him take off the helmet. And boxed him again. Like, goddamn. Like, it was fisticuffs. Typically, we get this fight choreography. And I like how Scott was just like, bro, I've been in enough fights to kind of know how to block. But that motherfucker was like, Scott was like, yo, this nigga was in Creed 3, bro. This nigga beat my ass.
I was thinking
you know
that shit.
Big pause. You know how big Jonathan Majors is? Pause. Like, that nigga swole it in the bitch. Pause. That's what I'm saying. So when he swing, bro, like... He beat his ass.
That's what
bro.
I was feeling. I said, man, he brought Creed 3 into this fucking movie, man, because he was goddamn beating that ass.
Stomped him, no powers. I don't need no lasers. Nigga, like, I done bossed the fuck out your
that
ass.
That shit was, like, I just like the way he was just talking at Scott. I understand.
Did you catch the callback? Did you see him doing a Captain America? I could do this all day.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
He, boy, I'm talking about he boxed the fuck out of him, bro. So when Jane came through,
that was the perfect
hope.
That was hope came through. That was the perfect hero villain shit. I love to fucking see. Not this bullshit where all of a sudden, you know what? I can beat him in a fight because I have a better purpose than he had. No, the fuck you can't. Like, I love the fact they didn't do that cheap and bullshit where it's like, oh, his suit injured. He's weak. He doesn't have powers. You can beat him now, Scott.
The blackest shit, though. He put that nigga in a yoke. He put his nigga in the yoke. Like, bro, I'm going to put your ass to sleep. Like, bro, I will choke you out, bro. I will break your neck. I will kill you. Like, I like the fact he was like, yo, bro, I can't do none of the ants ate up his suit.
Yeah.
So now his suit fucked up because of the ants. But the fact that he got away from them damn ants, I imagine, pretty formidable. So I like how Kane never gave up. It's fucked up because he gave a warning. He was just like, bro, like, I'm the only thing stopping the real threat, which was... There are other me's that are more evil than me. So I like how he was like the low-key Kang that they met, who was like, nigga, my variants are worse than me. And then when we met, they're like, there are two cutscenes in this movie, people. Two cutscenes in this movie. There's a end credit scene and there's a mid-credit scene.
Yeah, mid-credit
scene. The first scene we get is Kang, like... absolutely, like, coming back, his variants talking, like. So, you heard the guys from Earth 616, they killed Kang. It's like, you lying. Like, no, nah, bro, or if they kill him, they're gonna kill us. I'm like, no, nigga, that is not how that fucking works. But now they're feeling like gods, man. Like, no, nah, bro, we were like, they killed the banished one.
Yeah,
you lying.
Yeah. Yes,
bro, they killed the banished one.
I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't true.
It wasn't true, bro. They killed them. Oh, well, we got to have a meeting, bro. So they got all the Kangs together to have this fucking meeting. And I'm like, oh, shit, bro. Y'all got the whole Rick and Morty moment. Y'all got this whole...
The Council of Kangs.
Like, oh, shit, bro. Y'all got this whole... what you call it? The city?
In Rick and Morty?
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it's called. It was on tip of my tongue just then.
Me too.
Citadel,
bro. That's what I'm calling that shit.
So now we at this part, this juncture right here. Thoughts on this. Okay. Other thing I've been wanting to ask somebody about, because this has really been bothering me right here. So if you paid attention in the movie, he expressed how this would cause a cataclysmic event, and he showed the circle of the branching timelines devastating and destroying, right?
Mm-hmm.
He showed that to Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That same branching of timelines that was set to destroy the multiverse, He Who Shall Remains happened the same thing at the end of Loki season 2. So I was thinking without thinking, but thinking, did those two moments happen at the same time? When Sylvie killed He Who Shall Remains and when Scott killed, or he might not have killed, he might send him to another quantum realm because he's shrunk. It's not necessarily certain he died. He just disappeared. We never actually seen him die. And I know a rule in any movie, if you do not see a motherfucker die, there's a chance that he is not dead. So, just put a pin in that.
I mean, he got sucked up and he got absorbed into the energy. So, he got shrunk down. He got sent into something, broken down.
Because we saw what happened when you go inside his power source. It turns into a multitude of possibilities. So, it could be a possibility.
Then there's another Kane that looks jazz like him. When we went to the, when we saw the Council of Kings, we just seen other Kings. Some look like lizards, some look like pharaohs, some look like ancient gods. Like, honestly, I can't say whether or not the conqueror is dead, but there are other Kings, right? And like when we get, the next, big team up movie, it's going to be about. Right. All the Kang Dynasty. So I like the fact that they're building up this Kang Dynasty, which leads me to the second cutscene, which was they circle back to what you were bringing up with Sylvie, Loki. Loki is like, that's him. That's the guy. Like, I guess I'm thinking Kang is going to return in Loki, and maybe that's what Loki's going to be about. Loki going to these different time, like a time cop, going to these different timelines trying to take down all these Kangs.
Right.
I think the one who remains... I think he wanted to survive the war and survive everything that's going to happen. Because remember what Kane said. Kane was like, bro, I went to the end of time because I could. And I already know how this shit ends.
Right.
That's why I'm doing everything, because I already know how this shit going to end.
Right.
So I feel like he knows how shit going to end. But because time fluxes, time can flux and change at any moment. I feel like that's why he didn't see Ant-Man coming.
Right. So, backtracking what I was saying, I got off, my bad. I didn't mean to get off. It was just, like, a lot I was processing. So, like I said, when I was referring to the instance having the same time, I was thinking just, it might have been, like, super far-fetched, but I was like, what if He Who Shall Remains, by him giving him that name, he is metaphorically the lock? Because... I mean, he's the key, because his place existed outside of time.
Mm-hmm.
The banished one was banished outside of time. Like, I'm like, is he the lock? And basically, like, He Who Shall Remains was supposed to be, that's why he was watching the timeline to see if he stayed out of the timeline. He's supposed to notify the rest of, like, he was like the prison guard. I was like, was he like the prison guard? To make sure that the banished one stayed banished. That's why they, like... Because it's just weird that both of them existed outside of time. And it seemed like He Who Shall Remains was there for a job. They never specified why. But he was just like, basically like, I'm bored. And it just... He was just there, but he wasn't exiled. Like, he was exiled.
I think you got a point. Yeah. I think the He Who Shall Remains, He Who Remains, I think the Kang from Loki, I think when Sylvie killed him, that set up, we were thinking Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness when it happened. We thinking that. No, that shit was all the Kang shit going on when it happened. I think when he died, I think that set off the chain of events. It stands to reason that, it could be. When Loki killed him, that was the same time that he died. Like, all that shit may be connected and happened at the same time.
Because of what I was thinking, like, one or two things. Like, one, he was there to make sure that he stayed out of time and he could notify the rest of them that he's making a move. Or when he died and the timeline fractured, that's what flung him into the quantum realm. Because maybe he was stuck in a cycle. Because he kept saying that the rest of them were afraid of him, and this is the only place that could contain him. So maybe he was stuck, like the thunder, the quantum storm shut down his ship, and he was like stuck like in a loop, and he couldn't get out. So when they killed He Who Shall Remains, it let him out.
Well, here's something to think, right? He Who Shall Remain was like, I'm keeping the cap on these time ruptures. Yes. That was his job. This Kang, the Conqueror Kang, said that his thing was, it's just like, bruh, I'm going through and I'm literally killing all the Kang who's the Kangs who are just making extra timelines for no reason. Like, I'm actually doing a service. I'm going through killing all these Kangs and all these timelines that shouldn't exist. So don't be mad at me for destroying these motherfuckers, because guess what? They shouldn't exist. So I'm out here wiping up. I'm out here cleaning up a mess, technically. I'm trying to keep this shit from happening. But I feel like other Kangs know that their whole existence is predicated upon one Kang dying, which is why he had to die, and another Kang living is a threat to their existence.
Right.
So I feel like every Kang serves a purpose, but I feel like it's all connected.
Right, right. And that's what I was saying. Like, it just put me in a mind frame of when he threatened about throwing Cassie in an endless loop of her dying, if he was in an endless loop of him destroying those, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he was in an endless loop of him destroying those, and that's the only thing he could do was be stuck in that endless loop of him doing that. And by He Who Remains dying, it pushed him out of it. That's what I was saying. Because it's just like, because he kept, like you say, he was there to put a cap on it. And it was almost like he was like the father of time, like watching shit.
That's, and the one on Loki, he really made himself seem like he was father of time, just managing, making shit don't fuck up.
Yeah, because
the moment he died, every shit fucked up. Yeah. So he may have been the catalyst. Like, once he died, all these other, because he was just like, as long as I'm alive, all these other variants don't exist. But once I die, all these other variants gonna fucking pop up.
Right.
So you may be asking that. You may think about it this way: once Sylvie killed that Kang, the Kang that we see in Ant-Man 3 probably was created.
Right.
He probably was created, like, soon as that shit happened. And maybe he's a direct variant. Maybe he's, because I feel like some variants are more direct. So maybe he's, since, think about it, they both existed outside of time. Maybe his variant is like, you know what? I'm going to go back and put a cap back on these motherfuckers. Maybe that was the Kang.
Right.
Maybe that's how Kang ends up if he does not get killed by Ant-Man. Maybe he ends up being the last one.
Right. Dude, that's the end of the fucking movie. Fuck that. Damn right. That's the end of the fucking shit. Cause I said it, and then you fixed it. Cause I told you about the time storm. He was like, yeah, it's this storm that is, and that's the same shit that was in Loki too. When they killed him, the storm happened that branched out, and they showed the TV, all the timelines branching, shit like that. That was him fixing that shit, putting all that shit together. And he said, boom, at the end of time, and just...
Yeah, because think about it. The Kang and Loki, that Kang was like, you know what? I'm going to use my power. He was different. That Kang was, bruh, I got the script for the show.
Yeah.
I know how all of this shit end because I'm the Kang who was able to go on... He's the Kang who went to Earth as Jonathan Majors, went and got a copy of the script and copied it and went back to wherever the fuck he came from and was like, this is the script for the movie. As long as there are no revisions, this is how this shit gonna end. This shit is all a TV show.
Right.
Like, that Kang was, I think that was, I don't want to say Primal Kang, but I think the Loki Kang was the main Kang.
Right.
And I feel like when that motherfucker died, I feel like...
The script got tore up.
And all these other Kangs popped up. Sylvie really fucked this shit up, bro.
Oh, no.
I think that's Prime Kang.
Right.
I think Sylvie killed Prime Kang.
Man, check this shit out. Oh, this shit got me wilding. Like, this is why I was loving to talk about shit. Check this out. Okay, here we go. Inside the goddamn, the core. Because they never told us what the core was, what's it made out of, right? Mm-mm. But they just fucking showed us Kang. The birth of fucking Kang was inside the core. When Ant-Man went in the core, and they told him, be careful because something's going to happen, he split in two. What happened? Oh, that's the you that went left, that's you that went right. Okay.
All possibilities.
Then he split again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dynasty of Kang. The one who went left, the one who went right, the one who went up, the one who sat still, the one who got big, mm-hmm. the one who decided to kill, the one who decided to one-hit peace. That was all the possibilities, but instead of them being confined within whatever that power source, that dimension was, they branched out from the timeline and vectored out. Like, that was the singular event. That's what they called it. That was the singular event that he was referring to. The possibility opened up instantly in that spot. And the Kane, like I said, the Kane that went left, the Kane that went right, the one that killed him, the one who killed him, mm-hmm. who spared him.
Because Kane's villains, and even in the comic, Kane's villains aren't Iron Man and Reed Richards per se. They are, but they're not.
Yeah.
Kane's main villains are other Kanes, his past and future selves. People came from the past trying to kill him, and Kane's from the future trying to kill right. him. Like, he is his own worst, he's literally his own worst enemy.
Because another thing that he said was the Ant-Man. I can help you get back what you've lost. Time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I've lost so much time. Like, they give us no call back to what that is. But apparently something happened, you know, where he spent too much time genociding worlds, or it's the purpose of him genociding worlds, that in that process he learned how to travel the multiverse. And how to, you know, fix these infractions. So he's going back, like you said, bottle capping the infractions, trying to stop a singular event from happening, whatever it is. And that's why he deems himself Batman.
Yeah, unless you're from the Jet Li to win this shit, like, you kill all yourself and get stronger with that. It don't seem to be the fucking case.
It don't. It just seemed like he's looking for a singular event that happened that branched off, and he can't find it. So he's just capping all of them, putting a bottle cap on all of them until he figures out which events branched off, and he's going to fix it.
Yeah, and, wiping the worlds out.
Yeah, and that's why he was going to drop Jane back off on the way. I was like, I drop you off on the way till I find out what I'm looking for.
Yeah, your timeline is a crux event. Like, your timeline is a central timeline. Like, I got to go and correct a bunch of other timelines that happen. Because timelines going to keep happening as long as people keep making decisions.
Right.
But like we learned in Loki, there were a lot of... I think all the shit about Kang, I like the fact that now we're getting the hint that whatever happens in Loki is going to ultimately determine where Kang Dynasty goes. Because watching Loki is imperative now. And that's why I felt watching Ant-Man was imperative. Because if you saw Loki, you know how it's connected. So right. Now I feel like watching Loki is really what's going to connect Kang. Like, really connect the whole Kang thing. Because what I thought was going to happen was, I thought we were going to get some of Kang's origin. I really wanted to see who is he from. But the fact that we ain't cast Reed Richards or, you know, Susan Storm and none of them yet, it kind of stands to reason that we wouldn't do Fantastic Four. But I think Kang will return. You notice, usually when they say blank will return, they'll tell you what show to look for, a movie to look for. Kang will return in...
Yeah, and they just said Kang will return. So that means
he's gonna pop up in Loki.
Yeah,
I think he's gonna pop up. He's definitely gonna be in Kang Dynasty. Definitely. I don't know when they're gonna announce the Fantastic Four, but I definitely know that the Fantastic Four movie is honestly, bro. If I did a Fantastic Four, Kang changes how I do the Fantastic Four movie now. Now I'm not starting from the beginning. I'm starting in the middle. I'm starting all this shit is gone. Matter of fact, Reed Richards them ain't even from the same Earth 616, bro. They're from a completely different motherfucking timeline with a completely different Kang that just cross over with 616, because that Ant-Man happened to be the Ant-Man that can counter this multiverse, because I was the one fucking with the multiverse, bro. I feel like all of these other comic characters that we supposed to get from Marvel, I feel like they need to come from different universes. It makes no sense how mutants and Earth 616 timeline can just pop up in whatever year this was, 5 years after the blip, mutants pop up. That makes no fucking sense. You know, it does make sense. Earth 918 got all these goddamn mutants.
Like,
and somebody got a mutant power that allows them to cross timelines. To me, that's how you connect this shit.
That's I like that. I like the whole what's his name? It started with an S. It's about to be the most powerful
Sentry.
I like the Sentry drop that I heard online. I don't remember who it was. I wish I'd give him credit for it. I like the Sentry drop. You know about Sentry.
Mm-hmm.
His ability to make you, like, you know, basically destroy stuff on a molecular level. He can alter memories and all shit like that. I like the drop that when Sentry erased his memory because he didn't want to be, you know, evil anymore, he erased the whole world's knowledge of mutants. Mm. And mutants were existing this whole time, and we didn't see them because he made us forget what a mutant was. So the whole debacle of what's going on is that people that are mutants, unless they have a physical transformation, they don't even know they're mutants. They only know they have powers.
Yeah, but you know, now we got Inhumans, so I don't know how they're going to do this mutant Inhuman things. They still ain't really answered that. Miss Marvel, they let her get the mutant shit off.
Yeah.
But until we see Deadpool and all these other things in DC and MC happen, we really don't know how they're going to differentiate. Plus, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. then did cross timelines, space, and Inhumans. So I really don't know where this is going. But what I do want to know before we wrap this shit up is I got to get your score for the movie, dog. Like, with all that said, bro, it's like from Kane. My points come from this, bro. My points was the trailer, as revealing as the trailer was, right, I still was excited. They still gave me superhero fun. I didn't like the spy kids CG use, but I felt like it was so intentional. I felt like it was like really nostalgic. Mm-hmm. I did not like MODOK at all. MODOK, this movie, whatever score I was going to give it, MODOK took away a whole point.
Yeah.
It took away a whole solid 1 point.
I watched MODOK on Hulu again before I watched that MODOK.
Facts. I'm stuck, bro. I am really stuck between two scores for this movie, and I don't like doing points. Unless I'm doing like 1 to 5, I'll do
this,
points.
Man, this is getting a point for me. I can't help it.
It's hard, bro. I am stuck.
If you made me give a solid number, I refuse. I'm getting it a 7.5. That's my...
Oh, bro, I agree with you, bro.
That's the
one. I never give point fives, but it's not a 7.
It's not a 7.
But it's not an 8.
It's not an 8. I was like, and I could... Like, when I watched it, I was like, I just gotta be realistic. You gotta get a 7.5 for me for the points you hit. MODOK, I can't get over it. I needed more Kang than dad daughter love rekindling. I lost so much time, so I'm gonna rebuild and go on an adventure with my daughter and rekindle, you know, and build up our. Mm-hmm. I needed. No, fuck that. Give me a little bit of flashback of the shit she saw when she touched his damn shit. Let me see him go off and genocidally devastate worlds, and then on top of him destroying worlds, tell them, I do this not because anything that you did.
Yeah, you don't do that shit. You don't see that shit and not tell nobody.
Yeah.
You just don't. Like, to me, that was stupid. That was just a bad plot device.
Yeah, like, I got none of that. Like, I needed that. Like, and I get it. You didn't want to expose his powers and what he's capable of and what he can do and stuff like that. But you tanked the movie by not feeding me that.
Exactly.
You slid me an appetizer 2 for $20, but somebody bit it in the back. And I'm like, I don't want that shit.
I don't want that shit. Like I love the simplicity in it being Ant-Man, because at the end of the day, the ant saved the day. I like how the ants came at the end.
Still came in,
and there was Ant-Man, not Scott Lang, but actual Hank Pym who brought the ants. I like how the ants came, fuck shit up. And I like how Ant-Man turned to a fucking giant and Attack on Titan this shit. And that's the reason the shit ended, bro. This nigga came in there kicking over buildings, you know, holding shit up, shields, throwing shit like Captain America, stumping, kicking. And I like how, you know, that's his thing. I like how his daughter, I didn't like the fact that she grew up, but she contributed nothing. Cassie contributed nothing. No one contributed. Like, honestly, bro, the men did all the heavy lifting in this movie. And that's not me trying to be sexist. You had the one woman who kept all the goddamn secrets, had the daughter who was a ne'er-do-well who wanted to do all this shit, but ultimately she set these people free just to get killed. All the people she set free got obliterated by Kang when he threw his fucking temper tantrum.
Right.
But I do like the fisticuffs when Kang beat
I'm gonna watch that scene again, because, like I said, for anybody that's tuning in and listening to us, look back at Jonathan Majors' face when he didn't say it verbally. The look in his eye says, do you really want me to get you another one of these? Like,
bro, and I love how he talks. I love how he talks to Kang with this ambiguous proper English accent. Like, he was just so calm and just like, bro, I was scared. Like, he was really, like, you know how he was so unhinged? It was just like, bro, the fuck is up?
I'll tell you who the fuck you remind me of the whole movie, the whole time I've been talking. I've been trying to think of who this motherfucker reminded me of. is I'm about to say Billy D. Williams. That's not fucking Billy D. Williams. What is his name, Billy Zane, when he was in Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight?
Oh, boy, I don't even remember that.
Okay, he was in Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight, and he was trying to coax people into giving up their inhibitions to giving him the key. Like, you know, he, like, saying point one person was talking, he was just like, listen, I know your pain. I know everything you're going through. Come to me. I can help you. I can give you aid. It was almost a condescending, welcoming hand he was offering you at all times.
Bro, this man, that's a good description, bro, because he was kind. And it's, you know, he kept that shit under wraps. And, you know, when she find out, he was like, what did you see? Tell me, Jane. Like, don't judge me. Like, what'd you see? It's like, there's a reason for that. You don't have to be alarmed. I will take you back to your daughter. I won't kill you. That's really none of your business.
Right.
I don't need you being a fucking Karen.
Right.
Mind your fucking business.
Right.
But you know what? I like how Scott was like, nigga, go home. Just give me my daughter back. We had a deal. I like the fact that he was like, nigga, we had a deal. Give me back my fucking daughter, bro. Like, I don't give a fuck about this shit. Give me my daughter. I like how Scott was just like, no, nigga, I'll negotiate with terrorists. Nigga, give me my daughter.
Thank you. Thank you. I forgot you just hit me with a point real quick. He kept his word. You kept saying the whole time he was fucking a child throwing temper tantrums.
Yeah.
Okay, so check this out. You just hit the point. Boom, nail on the head. The whole movie kept his word, kept his integrity, everything about him. He said this, he did this, he did this, he did this. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Except when it came to fucking Jane. Said, fuck that bitch right there. Because he was going to give Scott his daughter and let him know, like, fuck it. He seen Jane there, seen Scott with Jane. You with this bitch? Oh, fuck that. Cassie can grow without your ass. Fuck you, fuck your daughter, fuck everybody, fuck, you know what, matter of fact, you freeze, bitch, because you left me here, and you could sense all the animosity in him, like, I would have let him go, and let, you know, been done with it, but he with you, I need him to suffer, because I don't even have the time it takes to make you suffer as much.
All I have is time.
Yes. And he was like, at that point, he turned into the spoiled child.
I got time today.
He was like, yeah, like, now you know what? Because when I get done making her suffer,
you
next.
He was like, you out of time. You, I got time today. Like,
right. Because I was like, fuck, you right. Like, that shit was crazy. It was like, yes, bitch. You know what? I just remembered. I owe her ass. And y'all related. So I owe your ass to fuck this deal. Deal fucking off.
Like, deal off. Like, nigga, we had a deal. Give me back my daughter, bro. What the fuck? Like, I'm...
Fuck this deal.
I don't care about none of that shit. Like, I could have destroyed the shit. And I like how it's the same thing. We just gonna shrink it. This time, we gonna shrink it. Instead of making it big, we gonna make it real, real small. Right. So, he got the power, but I think it's so small. Think about it. I think he got the power, but his suit broke and he ain't got his chair. So, now he got that power. But like you said, I think the power is actually the infinite amount of... I think it's just the energy... from all those possibilities that are just harnessed within it.
Right.
I think that's ultimately...
How he travels the multiverse.
Like, it's because...
It's a possibility orb.
Yeah, that's the whole power behind. The power is possibility, right, bro. It's not real energy. But, you know, energy is never... Think about it. It's 1,000 U's with thousands of actual energy you can't see. If you can access a different dimensional plane, you can access different dimensions. Like, the bigger you make it, the less of an effect that it has. Right. So I think down at that size... You know, he can go here, go there. Right. But he couldn't get out. It's amazing that he could suck them in, but he could not find a way to get out. And I can see why they didn't want to bring those people from there with them. Even the guy who could read minds, who seems increasingly useful with his third eye mind reading capability. But I need Ant-Man and the Wasp to answer more questions as to who y'all are, how y'all got here, what the fuck's going on, who built this city, Kane, did you really build this city, why? Okay, so you could fucking lead over somebody.
Right.
How was you going, without Pym particles, how the fuck was you going to take this whole city? Why does the city look like that giant orb in the first place? How was you going to transfer these people, where the fuck you were going? I have questions, you don't have Pym tech. It's like, the movie didn't answer all the questions that it asks.
Yeah.
But... I was reasonably satisfied when I got to the end, because nigga went to Attack on Titan, and that nigga went Creed.
Another thing I got to get them props on. Appreciate y'all, Marvel, for finally doing this shit. I've been screaming about this in any movie I watched that has a villain for years, probably all my life. And this is one of the few times a motherfucker actually do it. And thank you. Thank you, Jonathan Majors. He beat Ant-Man's ass. I'm talking about beat his ass,
beat
right?
Beat his ass. He bleeding.
Okay, beat his ass. Didn't kill him. You know why?
Why?
Because it was pointless. He wanted to get a point across to him that you can't beat me. And then once he got that point across, not only just to get that point across, but to inevitably stop him from stopping him. The ultimate goal was for him to get through that portal. But he didn't want to kill him. But he didn't. He had to make sure he beat his ass good enough where he wasn't going to do that bullshit where he grabbed his leg and the portal closed in front of him before he get out. So he beat his ass good enough to run through the portal. I actually hated the fact that what's her name?
Hope.
That Hope came through and stopped him. Cause that bit looked like a full-fledged linebacker running for that portal. He said, you know what?
I mean, with the gadgets and shit she had. No. And honestly, bro, the only thing about Kang I hated was nigga was way too patient. But I guess if you got control over time, why wouldn't you be patient? That's the only reason Kang lost is he was patient. Had Kang been in a rush, had he had a sense of urgency.
Oh, he got that orb and just
dipped. Nigga would have just dipped. Nigga just hanging around. Nigga, you think I've been stuck in the corner around for 30 fucking years and I'm going to just hang out with these niggas? No, nigga. I'm gone. But your ass want to be all patient and cool and calm.
In Kang's defense, the only thing I have to say about why he waited would have been, like you said, he's seen the end. I feel like he was preparing for what he was going to encounter as he did the first jump. I figure out whatever the first jump he was, he knew what he needed to conquer that first world and get the party started.
And one finna be our world, that nigga gonna get his ass fucked up. He came to Earth.
Speaking of that,
he came in 616. And Kang is getting tossed.
I wanted to see him kill Thor, dog. When he was like, are you the one with the hammer? Like, because he was like, I've killed Avengers before. Like,
and them weak-ass Avengers, nigga. You ain't killed Thanos Avengers, nigga, my nigga. You cannot convince me that Kang, who lost to a fucking ant giant, nigga.
You can convince me. Ask me how.
How?
Shout out to Rico for putting me on this hot anime. It's called, what's that bit called you put me on? When you go through time, summertime rendering. Summertime rendering. So,
keep trying.
So if Kang is fluent in the future and he knows how you're going to attack, he can kill.
As long as he don't die, he can come back and try it again.
Yeah, he can try it again. So I know he's going to throw that fucking hammer. Guess what? Sidestep. Damn. How'd he know I was going to throw the hammer? Like, he can literally murk all the event. If he knows how you're going to fight him, it's child's play.
Yeah, you just got to keep rewinding the tape. And try
it's like playing a video game. I know.
So that's why, you know what, though? That explains why he's so patient. Like, the only way he wins is just like, bro, I didn't run in this bitch throwing tantrums overnight. And no, bro, I had to make 1,000 mistakes. But that's why his mind's so broken. I watch Ray Zero, bro. You know how your mind gets broken when you keep dying? Like, that's the thing. People think this nigga flawless. No, that Kang is fucked up. Because that nigga done died 1,000,000,000 times. Right. That nigga done died, bro. He's died and just keep resetting, bro. Like, if he don't die, he near dies and takes himself back to right before he almost died. He probably got something in his suit. If I sustain these injuries enough. Yeah.
You teleport, you open that little wormhole. Because you see he can.
That's a failsafe that's going to take me back to this point in time, and to the last save state. If that's what happened to him, honestly, Ant-Man ain't kill him. That nigga went to a save state. That nigga went to a save space. That nigga went back to a save point. And now he got to start all over.
I can dig it, man.
I can too. That nigga went to a save point.
I can dig it because what we saw was the first rendition of him going through that, and he saw what the fuck happened went wrong. I was like, oh no, we ain't gonna do that shit again. That shit is not gonna fucking happen again. I saw that shit. And then weird last thought, like I said, we was closing out. You was talking about this man ejaculating into the time pool and all that. Ugh. You know who, after seeing him in his live action, you know who Kang looks like to me?
Who?
Apocalypse.
Bro, Bro, he damn sure did look like Apocalypse. Like, when you got to the end and they showed that Kang in the cutscene, I was like, damn, that nigga look like Apocalypse. Like, that got me thinking Apocalypse was Kang the whole fucking time.
Like, because Apocalypse was on that same shit. Like, you know, I am the Omega. Like,
Apocalypse is Kang.
Like, he was on that same.
No, he's the variant of Kang who's a mutant.
Right, right.
Apocalypse is just mutant Kang.
He's mutant Kang, right. He probably was in that fucking end scene.
Bruh, Apocalypse is mutant Kang. Oh my fucking God. Apocalypse is just a mutant version of Kang. He's literally a variant of Kang, a mutant.
He's blue. He got the lines on his face like Kang has.
Yeah, right.
He got the helmet on.
Bruh, that's Apocalypse is just Kang. That's a mutant.
He's a variant.
He's a variant. He's just a variant of Kang. Ain't that a bitch? It's been a great pod. Thank you. Skos, thank you for coming, bro. We just saw some cool shit, bro. Like, it's a nice long pod, man. I've enjoyed it. I hope y'all fans at home, go check out Ant-Man and the Wasp. If you enjoyed this breakdown, but if you have not seen the movie, I'm sorry for spoiling it. But if you did see it, go see it again. Go discuss. Leave us some in the comment section. Shout out to Macchio. Shout out to Ocean. Shout out to Black. Shout out to Siv. Shout out to Skos.
Shout out people.
Shout out to everybody, all the Ninja Please family. Again, thank you for listening. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Wherever you listen to the podcast, this is Yuki, aka Starman, officially known as Shota Baby, Fox Blump, aka Mama Rupuff and Chiba, Gang Gang Tate, aka Gang Gang Lorenz Tate for the Ninja Please podcast, man. Y'all enjoy.
Peace. I didn't get to sign up.
Smoke bomb.